You're listening to Classic Business with Michael Avery, brought to you by Altra, there when it matters.
Well, welcome back, and it's time for the panel here on Classic Business, brought to you by Altron Technology Partners in your digital transformation journey. Well, speaking of journeys, when I turned 18, or call it 19, because I had to work for a year after high school, I left home, small town in the east of Joburg, for the bright lights of the city. And as a student living in Melville, while studying, it was then called RAU, now UJ. It certainly was a heady time. It was a cosmopolitan melting pot full of possibility and, dare I say it, the naivety of youth, a time where I wish someone had advised me on the financial pitfalls that lay in wait. Don't say yes to the credit card, and whatever you do, don't abuse it if you are sold one. Well, several years of hard slog later, and student and credit card debt eventually paid off, I learned my lesson the hard way. And sometimes in life, we need some financial counseling to avoid having to make those sorts of mistakes. Now, when it comes to retirement, and specifically your transition to retirement, you don't have the luxury of making a mistake and recouping time lost to school fees of experience. And so the introduction of the retirement benefits counselor is one of the more welcome developments in the retirement landscape in the country. An individual is hopefully going to make a big impact on the lives of many, and many individuals, multiply that over, and perhaps we might have many millions actually saving with enough in retirement, whatever your enough is. Currently, the stats are quite dismal. Only 6 of us can say we are retiring with enough. Well, to find out how it works in practice, since it was introduced officially on the 1st of March, I've invited my favourite retirement benefits counsellor, the straight-talking Dave Crawford, financial planner at Planning Retirement. Good evening, Dave.
Good evening. Thank you.
The equally bovine excrement-issuing Rob Rosconi, actuary, researcher and consultant at Trez Consulting. I had to figure out a new way to introduce you,
Thank you, Michael, I think.
Also in studio, to round off our in-studio contingent, is Barend Lekhranji, head of individual member support business in Sanlam Employee Benefits. Barend, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure to be here.
And on the line, Naheem Esop, who's, and listen to this for a title, chap, specialist analyst, I should say, governance and trustee conduct in the Retirement Fund Supervision Division, responsible for inter alia, overseeing default regulations implementation within the Financial Sector Conduct Authority. Naheem, do you have a short title? Good evening.
Good evening, Michael. Thank you for the introduction. Specialist analyst, I suppose, is the short title.
Specialist analyst Esop, thank you so much for joining us. Perhaps, Naheem, you can kick us off. And for years, and certainly Dave Crawford sitting opposite me for many more than I've been, we've been calling on the retirement fund industry to provide financial education to its members. It's a multi-trillion rand sector. It's got an extensive food chain. It includes fund managers and asset consultants and retirement fund administrators and employee benefits consultants, all effectively paid by members' contributions. Yet we have this retirement crisis, and as I mentioned, the stats are not good. So clearly something needed to change. Yet often when we raise the question at retirement fund conferences, we're told that members needed to seek independent financial advice, and that it wasn't the role of the consultants in the employee benefit space to provide that advice. Certainly wasn't the company's role when members leave the fund. Enter now the retirement benefits counsellor and retirement benefits counselling. Naheem, what is it exactly? What is it intended to do?
Okay, so Michael, the retirement benefits counselling is part of the default regulations that was introduced in the latter part of 2017. And it's meant to improve, the default regulations are meant to improve the outcomes for members of retirement funds by ensuring that they get good value for their savings and retire comfortably. And it does this by requiring funds to have, in the accumulation phase, a default investment portfolio, and in the post-accumulation phase, a default in-fund preservation and annuity strategy. And hopefully that will result in better outcomes for members. Now, it's well and good that funds are required to have that, but members are also required to know about it. And retirement benefits counseling really feeds into that. It's not a counselor as in person, because retirement benefit counseling can also be provided in writing.
That is an important distinction. Byron, from that point, and from your perspective at Sanlam in employee benefits, when you consult with companies or funds, what is their understanding of the role of the retirement benefits counsellor and retirement benefits counselling?
That's a very good question. We're doing extensive research every year as part of our Sanlam Benchmark Symposium that we host every year for the industry. And some of the research have just shown that members feel that written communication and written counselling is in many cases ineffective. And that's one of the reasons why Sanlam Employee Benefits have decided to go with a retirement benefit counsellor, just to get that human-to-human interaction, so that when members make these critical decisions, either when they withdraw or retire, they can actually speak to someone and ask and get answered the question they actually want to answer.
That is a critical point, David. You are in the trenches. In fact, you've just come back from Sasselburg today, where you consult with members. You are literally out there in the sun, sweating, and hearing firsthand what the members' concerns are. Can we ever hope to achieve what the draft default regulations 39 in particular in this instance hopes to achieve, if it's left to just written communication?
I'm doubtful about that. All the surveys indicate that your best efforts in communicating and teaching within retirement funds comes down eventually to face-to-face communication. Okay, I was actually running a workshop today to education, and I've winnowed this thing down to two levels. I think retirement benefits counselling and the defaults are excellent. I think they're a great step forward. However, we need skills. Considerable skills in communicating with members, and part of that will come from having an underpinning of some basic education. Didn't happen today, but a couple of months ago I had a learner doing a bit of a presentation for me, and he rattled through the presentation, and when we were finished, one of the people said, caught up with me afterwards and said, "Excuse me, sir, but what is an asset and how do percentages apply to retirement?"
As basic as that?
Yep, as basic as that. As basic as that.
And it really does boil down to financial literacy at the end of the day.
It does.
Rob, just to bring you in, as an independent observer, so to speak, obviously the intention is good to improve member communication and education via either the written word or the spoken word. What are the particular challenges, though, in implementing this model of a retirement benefits counsellor?
Well, I think it is the communication model. I think it's understanding the risks that we're running. As a country, we handed risks lock, stock and barrel to individuals. When they get to retirement, they're about to make the most profound and most financially significant set of decisions that they have or will make in their whole lives. But a lot of those decisions are simple, profound, courageous decisions. And so I think the key challenge is being able to assess the effectiveness of that retirement counselling. Mm. I think that is incredibly difficult, and it's technically not that easy either. But I have seen some interesting research which has shown that, and I agree with Dave that because these decisions are simple and profound, they do actually take some eyeballing, and they do actually take somebody who takes even a few minutes to express an understanding of your position. A piece of paper can't do that. A piece of paper can't say, if you make this decision, you're in big trouble. If you make this decision, you're in better shape. A piece of paper can't in fact do that at all, because it's up to the individual and the individual circumstances.
We probably are getting to a point where sophisticated robo-advisory algorithms with some input from the user can help guide, but I am still of the opinion that it is such an important decision that one makes at the end of this journey, that if you make the wrong decision in the heat of the moment out of ignorance or being poorly advised, then you really are sometimes trapped in it for life. So it's too important to be left just to written communication or even a robo-advisor.
I think we're in this profound time in sort of digital history where we're going to discover that actually the best decisions are people-led decisions. The robo-advisor can give you technical advice, but it might not lead to the decision because you don't feel that sense of accountability to an individual, that personal contact, that I can step off this cliff, that I can do it because I must do it. Mm. The robo can't do that for you.
But maybe step in here. I mean, one of the biggest takeaways we've seen from implementing retirement benefit counseling is this whole concept of individualization. Every individual has different needs at different stages of their lives. They want you to engage with them at specific times, on specific topics, and in a way that they want to be communicated with. So I agree completely. Technology is the answer, but dovetailing with technology is also data. I mean, without data, you can't really use technology effectively. And we've been playing with this whole construct of combining high tech with high touch, if you will, and I think that can potentially make a big difference in assisting us to better understand individuals that we want to engage.
I do think that Rob was saying we need human-led decisions, though. You know, as much as you said, Rob, you know, we're talking about technology, Rob.
Yes. And in fact, I don't think technology is the solution, but I do think the effective use of technology is important because technology can help us to understand that everybody is individual. But the decision is essentially a human decision. It's not a technical decision. And so you can use technology to show the trade-offs between the two paths that you might consider. But those trade-offs are inherently very difficult. Even technologically or technically, and optimizing a decision is in the realm of, you know, academic papers. So to take an individual through a very courageous, very significant decision really requires that human touch. If you can aid it with technology, that's fine. But I think these are, as I say, these are often very simple yet very profound decisions. We mustn't overcomplicate them.
Absolutely. Naheem, from the perspective of measuring the effectiveness of the introduction of retirement benefits counselling, and back to Rob's point, how do we measure the impact? How are you at the FSCA thinking about measuring the success or otherwise of the introduction of the retirement benefits counselling mechanism?
Yes, so Michael, we have a number of information gathering tools at our disposal in terms of the Financial Sector Regulation Act. And if you read the default regulations, it requires funds to demonstrate to us on request how they are complying with the default regulations, and that includes the retirement benefits counseling. It will also be monitored when our conduct supervision team conducts on-site visits on funds, and we are intending to issue a market conduct return as well as a governance return during the course of this year. And through those mechanisms, we intend to measure the effectiveness of it. But having said that, I hear the sentiment of the guests in your street studio, and most definitely I empathize with that. And I believe that initially when the default regulations were drafted and issued for comment, it was feedback from the industry that required to be counseling as opposed to a counselor. And on that basis, I believe it was changed to counseling, and it's not a counselor.
Barrett?
Michael, maybe just on the measuring part, I think that's a very important part because what I'm hearing is everyone's running around talking about retirement benefit counseling, the impact it's going to have, but I haven't seen anything as to the outcomes of it. And so what we've done from Sunline Employee Benefits side is actually providing funds. We're going to provide funds on a quarterly basis with the actual outcomes of members that were either counseled and weren't counseled. Just to give you an example, one of the funds, or some of the funds, I think there's about 9 funds that already had retirement benefits counseling implemented before 1 January 2019. And for those funds, we actually have data for the first quarter. And I must say, last year when I was thinking about the impact of retirement benefit counseling, I was thinking about the difference between people that are counseled and not getting counseled, the amount they will take cash. I thought if we get to 5%, that would be great. But we're seeing a difference of up to 15% in the amount of people not taking cash if they get counseled. And I think that's just astonishing. I mean, there's a lot of focus on investment returns and fees, and while all those are very important matters, If you are 40 and you're cashing out your retirement fund...
And you're not preserving.
You're starting over.
All of that is moot. So, and I want to shift the conversation on, Byron. Thank you very much to you, Dave. And all Sanlam needed to do was come and chat to you about 20 years ago, and they wouldn't have had to do this research. You are evidence that people do outperform if they get the right advice. Yes. And that is the benefit of the benefits counsellor. At the end of the day, it isn't rocket science.
Absolutely. But I want to say we've always got to be a little careful of using the word advice, because it's quite loaded as phrases go. No, don't worry about it. It is really a question of when people understand what they're doing, they figure out their own targets. If they're interested, and I quote you Socrates, who said, education is kindling a flame, not filling a bucket. And when you go to information sessions, you get this tremendous outflow of information. I don't think anybody's short of information, but they may well be short of the appropriate information, or contextualized. How do we relate it to what we have? And something that came up today, for example, in the session, was most people in the session, we talked about retirement, the whole thing, but we spent half an hour discussing, they said, what is the actual decision? We don't understand what this decision is. Are we locking ourselves in for the rest of our lives? And everybody had a slightly different take on it. I toil at the bottom of this inverted pyramid in many ways. But what I believe is very, very important, and I think all this work is great, and I love the idea of measuring, because I think it's the only way you're going to convince anybody of the success or failure of this, of the whole
thing. Evidence-based policy making.
Absolutely. But I think that a huge amount depends on style, on the quality of the conversations. Because you're not talking to people about something that is a small deal. Rob made the point. It's such a huge decision, and yet we handle it almost as that's, you know, it's quite a simple thing.
Not every actuary is gifted with the gift of the gab, Rob. Am I being overly generalized?
I couldn't possibly comment.
You're an outlier amongst outliers here. No, it is about communication, isn't it, Dave? And Rob, to come back to this ecosystem approach here, there has been some pushback from financial advisors in particular, who now feel that, the retirement benefits counselor is coming into my territory. But overall, if you're receiving good information, proper information about the consequence of your choices, then more members are likely to preserve. It's a win-win. The fund provider makes more money from assets under management. There doesn't have to be this zero-sum game sort of approach to it.
Yeah, the financial advisor ought to be nervous if they're the type of financial advisor who likes to pull wool over clients' eyes and you know, push them into the bucket that does them the best. But the financial advisor who wants a well-informed customer, who can create a relationship that will last for 30 or 40 years, and that's built on trust and sound information, will love this, because actually customers will come to those advisors better informed. The fundamental questions will have been answered, and they can talk about implementation. Those financial advisors will also use the technology that has been referred to greatest effect, because that data is there, but how do you make sense of that data? And then I think the trustees will then be in a better position to answer the question that Naeem has posed. You know, fill in those returns and show that this is actually working. That's the way it should be.
And I want to come back, Byron, to some interesting research that was in the previous Sanlam Benchmark survey, when professional EB consultants were quizzed about this particular topic of the retirement benefits counsellor and counselling. And 51% said that it wouldn't infringe on the role of the consultant and advisor. That means 49% think that it will. That's one in two. I think that's quite high. But 66% of consultants believe that funds will choose to do the bare minimum to comply. Now, that's a concern, because really this is driven at the fund level, isn't it? How do we improve that number?
Yeah, look, I think funds have had a long time to actually consider implementing the default regulations, which includes retirement benefit counselling. But still, through this year's research, and I'll give you a bit of a teaser, almost 39% of funds said they did not have enough time to consider retirement benefit counselling. So that was quite astonishing, but again, I think it leaves some room to still engage with them and enable financial resilience for members across the board, because that's what we need to do.
They should listen to Classic Business. We've been talking about it for 4 years.
Exactly.
Well, Naheem, I want to bring you in there, because as the regulator, as the FSCA now, are you buying that? Are you buying the fact that funds who really have had an awful long time to get to grips with the defaults and the concepts and going all the way back to Dave McCarthy, surely they've had enough time?
Yes, Michael, they were given 18 months to comply. What we saw was a late rush before the implementation date, with many funds applying for exemptions and extensions to comply with the default regulations. So I hear what your guest is saying, but funds should really have had enough time to comply with the default regulations. And look, we have been granting exemptions and granting extensions where it's justifiable. But if it's not, then obviously it's something that impacts on the fiduciary duties of the trustees. And we really don't want this to end up being a tick box approach where funds are just simply ticking the box, because the FSCA that has taken over from the FSB is more of an outcomes-based regulator rather than a rules-based regulator. And we'd like to see that the default regulations are achieving the intended purpose. So if it's necessary, if there's good reason why a fund could not comply on time, then we will grant that extension. But we don't want the situation where the fund is simply complying for the purposes of ticking a box.
Naheem, do you have the numbers in front of you in terms of how many funds have asked for an extension or an exemption on Reg 39?
I don't have the exact numbers, Michael, but I can tell you it's in excess of 1,000 funds that have applied. And, you know, I think that's around where the figure lies at the moment.
Byron, that seems to be quite a high number.
It is quite a high number, but I want to take it even further than that. Even for those funds that have complied with the retirement benefit counselling, a lot of them at the last minute just chose, listen, I'm going to do written communication just to tick the box. And I think that's a huge, huge issue, because you see funds at two sides of a spectrum. One just wants to comply or didn't have time to consider it. And on the other hand, you have people that really goes the extra mile. And what we've seen with some funds that's really putting effort in is they're considering the entire member value proposition, from member education to retirement benefit counselling to how that dovetails with advice. And I think that ecosystem can complement one another fantastically, and there is so much potential for that if we do it right.
It boils down to leadership, Rob, at the end of the day. Whether you want to do this or not, you know, things in life, as we were discussing earlier, are difficult. But if you've got the right leadership in place, then you will implement.
And running a fund is difficult. Let's make no, there's no argument about that. But this has been on the boil for years through the Treating Customers Fairly initiative. Or actually, all you have to do, trustee, is the right thing for your members. They're carrying the risk. What you have to do is lead them through that. And as Byron says, there are great examples of funds that have taken a serious approach to this and have done an amazing job of leading their members through these risks. There are no excuses for the other funds.
Byron Tomasa, I'm really looking forward to the latest benchmark survey, which is due out in a couple of weeks' time. I think I might be in Poland, so you're going to have to mail me a copy. But Dave, I want to give you the last word on this. As a retirement benefits counsellor who's out there in the trenches every day, what are the benefits, and I want to end on that because we focus a lot on the costs, what are the benefits of this approach and what has it been through your experience?
I think the benefits are best summed up as you have people who know a lot more about the decisions they've got to make, who know a lot more about the issues they've got to follow up and check on, to check their own understanding to see where they go. And remember that if a wife or a husband who works for a company goes through this process and has to take it home to communicate it to the other person who is enormously affected. In the case of a woman who doesn't work or a man who's a house husband, they are very much, they're incredibly dependent upon the nature of that decision. So I'd like to see much more care taken in the actual communication. And I think if they do that, it's a huge step forward. What I don't want to see and I've heard people talking about it, is that retirement benefits counselling should now eclipse the whole idea of retirement fund education. And I declare my bias. I am an educator.
Well, it is all about education. This is one component of that entire education ecosystem at the end of the day. Certainly what we don't want to be seeing is a box-ticking approach that just says written communication. We've fulfilled our fiduciary responsibilities. Thank you very much, Dave Crawford, a financial member educator. Retirement fund member, educator, I should say, a financial planner planning retirement. On the line, we had Naheem Esop, specialist analyst at the FSCA, for short, Rob Rusconi, our actuary resident from Trez Consultant, and Barant Lakhranji, also our actuary resident from Sanlam Employee Benefits. And I just want to leave you with a quick thought tonight. It was at a party given by a billionaire on Shelter Island in New York. Kurt Vonnegut informs his pal Joseph Heller that their host, a hedge fund manager, had made more money in a single day than Heller had earned from his wildly popular novel Catch-22 over its whole history. And Heller responds, "Yes, but I have something he will never have. Enough." And I think that often in life we chase the false rabbits of success down dark holes in the belief that we don't have enough. And sometimes in life you need to just stop and ask yourself whether with your health and your friends and your family you actually have enough. And you can let the rabbit scamper off into the distance. With that, one thing we can't get enough of is Kianetse Fatwane, who's in the Jazz Lounge in Cape Town, and Inkauteng Ann Williams, who's standing in for Carolyn Stain's Classic Winding Down. Thanks for tuning in to Classic Business, which was brought to you by Altron. There when it matters.